What does innovation sound like? It sounds like the luxury of being in the moment with your customer, client, or patient. It sounds like having the right information right when you need it. It sounds like being at your best for your customers and your business. Thanks to Hyland's intelligent content solutions that improve digital processes, innovators everywhere are able to do their thing better, whatever that thing is. Now, who doesn't like the sound of that? Hyland, for innovators everywhere. Visit Hyland.com.
The Last Word with Matt Cooper. Today FM. The Last Word on business.
With Forvis Mazars. Professional services redefined. Delivering global insights and local expertise. Visit ForvisMazars.com/IE.
Ian Guider of the Business Post joins us. And Ian, for American multinationals looking to invest in Ireland or to expand in Ireland, what now apparently is their biggest concern?
Evening, Matt. Well, it is the biggest topic in the country, which is housing, which is topping their list of concerns for all of the big multinational employers. And when you think of it, Matt, if you were to go back through the American Chambers of Commerce surveys in years gone by, what would be the top things that they would always mention? Well, the tax regime. They'd also mention getting people who had good skills. But now we're seeing the housing crisis impact even those working for multinationals who can afford the top rents, Matt. It's not an issue of getting access. Not an issue of paying for housing, it is access to housing. 40% of the companies surveyed by the American Chambers of Commerce to mark Independence Day, the 4th of July, say that housing is the biggest thing that could hold them off putting more investment in the way of Ireland. And it's also interesting, if you look at some of the other things that are topping their concerns, Matt, it's infrastructure, it's things like transport, it's energy, it's the things the state is doing. It's not the business environment. We've fixed all of those things, such as, we do know that a long time ago, the companies used to struggle to get people. Now you can bring people in from abroad who have skills. But the issue is housing and all the things around infrastructure, transport and energy, the things the government will have to fix, Matt. And that is the concerns of these companies, that a lot of this has to do with the government. And 60% of firms say the government should be investing more in housing. So that is the top of the agenda of all of these companies.
Tell us, what's the situation on car parking at Dublin Airport?
It's extraordinary that this story is still rumbling on. The Dublin Airport Authority last year tried to buy the old Quick Park building, which has been vacant, closed for 5 years now, from Jerry Gannon for 70 million. That deal was blocked by the Competition Authority. And in their defence of blocking the deal, the Competition Authority have released a 300-page report as to why they knocked this deal down. They say that it would have given the DAA a monopoly on car parking. And what they're trying to do is justify why that was happening. But in the meantime, Matt, that doesn't solve anybody else's problems of getting access to parking at Dublin Airport, even allowing for the disruption caused by Aer Lingus with a few fewer passengers. The car park is full at Dublin Airport. And what the Competition Authority are saying is they will be open to a solution that would see potentially the DAA lease the car park on a short-term basis while another buyer is found for the Quick Park. They say that they would have no problem, but nobody has put a proposal to them yet. There have been reports in the last number of months that the DAA would look over the summer to potentially lease the car park for a short period of time. They haven't made any progress on that. And the Competition Authority say they would be open to anybody else coming to them and saying, could they lease this car park while it is being sold to anybody who isn't the Dublin Airport Authority? Matt, everybody knows that competition is great. It would lower prices. But we have a situation now where people can't afford to park the cars in Dublin city centre, because that's quite expensive, and get public transport to the airport. Lots of people need to park at Dublin Airport, and there just isn't the room in the existing facilities, and therefore that means prices being charged are still quite high. So a temporary solution could be, if the DAA went and tried to do a deal to lease this car park on a short-term basis, it appears the Competition Authority would be open to that, but so far it isn't happening, and that just means all of the passengers, Matt, are now inconvenienced by having to scramble to find parking at Dublin Airport, and probably paying a very high rate because of it.
Tell us about the increasing popularity of non-alcoholic beers.
Yeah, this is an interesting story, Matt. It's being put out by Drinks Ireland, which is the lobby group for the alcohol production industry in this country. And we do know, Matt, that consumption of alcohol has been sliding. According to Drinks Ireland, there's been an 11% drop in alcohol consumption per capita in Ireland over the last 5 years. But the one area that is growing is low and non-alcoholic beers. Zero alcohol brands are everywhere now. Sales last year increased by 18%. So far and beyond any other category, far beyond any spirit category that's growing, non-alcoholic beers are growing, and we are seeing more manufacturing of them by the big drinks companies. Production of these drinks was up by 50% last year, according to Drinks Ireland. Now, it is still a small part of the overall drinks market, just 2%. In countries like Spain, non-alcoholic drinks account for 14% of the drinks market. But you can see, as the more companies put in the investment, expand the categories, you can see it now anytime you go to a supermarket, but the zero shelves are filling up with different things. It's not just beer, it's not just stouts, it's wine, it's spirits and other types of alcohol. They are growing. People seem to like them. They are actually getting better in quality, and therefore companies are seeing an increase in sales and putting the investment behind it. So you can see that clear trend that alcohol sales are falling generally, but the zero brands are doing much better.
Is Jeff Bezos cashing out of Amazon?
Well, he's certainly cashing out some of it, but the world's richest man can afford to sell even a small stake in Amazon and reap a huge amounts of money. He did a deal in the last couple of days where he sold around $5 billion worth of shares. It's extraordinary. He is worth hundreds of billions of dollars because the share price of Amazon continues to rise. It's one of those few companies, Matt, with a $1 trillion price tag. So Jeff Bezos can just trickle shares out onto the market and still reap an absolute fortune. He is, it flips around, Matt, between various billionaires out there. It is either the Bernard Arnault of the LVMH luxury goods group or Jeff Bezos, who class themselves as the world's richest man. Jeff Bezos in the last number of years has been cashing in a little bit of his stake in the company. Obviously, there was a big transfer of wealth to his wife when they divorced a few years ago, but he has started in the last number of years selling small portions of his shares in Amazon. He is still a huge investor in the company, but because the share price has rocketed so much, he only has to sell a small portion and he can raise billions to spend on his various other business empires, including Blue Origin, the space company, the Washington Post, the newspaper which he owns, and also, Matt, of course, he spends some of his money on things like yachts and various other things. He's been seen partying on yachts a few times.
One brief final one. We have previously discussed how Liz Truss's premiership in England was brought to a halt by disastrous buzzard with Kwasi Kwarteng. But what about the situation on the markets in Britain with stock markets and bond markets and the rest, with the likelihood of an overwhelming majority for the Labour Party putting it in power from tomorrow?
Yeah, it appears that financial markets are ready to accept a Labour government. I don't think they've taken some of the Tory attack messages that Labour will blow up the economy seriously. We are seeing the FTSE 100, Matt, up by 1% today, far outpacing the gains of European stock markets. We've seen sterling gain against the euro and the dollar in the last couple of days. There's nothing in the Labour Party manifesto that is worrying the City of London about the finances of the country, that I think they are welcoming the stability. Very interesting as well, Matt, there's another big election in France on Sunday, and the French markets, the bond markets for France, have actually been cooling off a little bit. France sold $10 billion of government debt today at a lower rate than they sold in the last couple of weeks. So I think they are seeing that perhaps this idea of freezing out the far right is having an impact on financial markets right now. That could all change at 7 o'clock on a Sunday night.
Thank you very much, Ian Guider of the Business Post.
The Last Word with Matt Cooper. Weekdays from 4:30. Today.